This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أنشدت بسم الله ثم الحمد له فالله أهل الحمد إن الحمد له يا ربي أنت كلما رزقتني رأيت خيرا سابغا لحد له بك الرجاء وحبكم ربي سرى في القلب ثم زانه فجمله أنت الذي سترت ما يعيبني وجدت لي.
الحمد لله. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows what the hearts conceal and what the tongues do not reveal. The one to whom all shall appeal and the one whom in front of the believers kneel. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having sent down to us the best of all of His revelations and sent to us the finest of His creation and guided us by His invitation to be amongst the believing congregation. And we send salat and salam upon the one who was sent as rahmatan lil alameen, the one whom even his opponents called as-sadiq al-ameen, the one who will be our intercessor yawm ad-deen. Realize, my dear brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded us to be conscious of Him, to have taqwa of Him, when He says in the Quran, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah the way that it is befitting that you have taqwa of Him, and do not die except in a state of submission. As to what follows, dear Muslims, one of the topics that is rarely mentioned from these pulpits around the globe, and yet it needs to be mentioned. One of the topics that has become taboo to talk about publicly, and yet it needs to be discussed regularly, is the very awkward topic of divorce. So many khutbas are given about marriage. So many khutbas are given about the importance of marriage. Yet when it comes to the issue of divorce, because we shy away from it, time and time again, khatibs, imams, du'ats are then approached by people who have divorced themselves. Husbands come and they say, Shaykh, I did this and this, what do I do now? Wives come and they text and they phone call, my husband said this, my husband did that. Has the divorce taken place? And it is essential that we mention the realities of divorce and how divorce should take place and what are the steps to do before divorce takes place so that people are better educated, so that we don't have to solve problems before they arise. You know, when you board a plane, you always are taught the emergency exits. We seek Allah's refuge from ever having to utilize them. But why are you told where the emergency exits are? Because in case you need to save a life, that's what you need to do. So too, divorce is like an emergency exit. We don't look to it for guidance. We don't enter a marriage thinking about the emergency exits. But we need to know where they are, how to use them in case of an emergency. And obviously one khutbah can only do so much. But inshaAllah ta'ala, we will try to shed some light upon this issue. And realize, O Muslims, whether we want to mention it or not, divorce is a reality that is affecting not just us, the entire globe. Skyrocketing. It is estimated, public surveys in this country estimate that up to 50% of marriages in this country end in divorce. Think about that statistic. Up to 50% of marriages in this land. Do you think our community is immune? I'm sure everyone amongst you is aware of friends, family, relatives, maybe even you yourself have undergone this issue. How can we not talk about it when it is affecting all of us? And how many lives have been destroyed? How many children have been deprived from regular, normal lives because of hastiness, because of anger, because of ignorance, because people don't know, Muslims don't know how to take advantage of this escape route or when to take advantage of this escape route. Realize, dear Muslims, that the default in our religion is that marriage is supposed to last. And marriage lasts through thick and thin. And marriage lasts through ups and downs. When the going gets tough, you don't just look at the emergency exit. When the going gets tough, you don't start thinking of how to finish off the marriage. That's not the reality of marriage. Dear newlyweds, dear those of you who have been married only 5 years, 10 years, realize every single marriage will have its difficult times. Even our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went through some difficult times. 1 month he slept in the masjid away from his wives because of marital tensions. And Allah revealed verses about this. Yet he stayed with all of them and all of them stayed with him. Do not just give up. Don't just throw in the towel. One of the beautiful points our scholars mention is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Adam and he mentions our mother Hawa in the best of times and the worst of times. How so? وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ The best of times. Adam, enter Jannah, you and your wife. And then, the worst of times. What was the worst incident that happened to our father Adam? To be expelled from Jannah. قَالَ اهْبِطَ مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا Both of you come back down. In the bad times and in the good times, husband and wife were together and they stayed together. Some of our scholars mentioned a type of indication that through thick and thin, husband and wives, they stick together, they try to work things out. And of course we know in the example of our mother Khadija radiallahu anha, that how she was a pillar of support, how much the Prophet ﷺ valued, how much he appreciated. And they had 15 solid years before the wahi began, where life was relatively easy. And then when the da'wah began, persecution began, all of these difficulties began, our mother Khadija became the primary pillar of support for our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She didn't just give up. She didn't just say, oh, now it's too tough, I'm going to abandon you. She stuck with him. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam always admired and always maintained that ties and that loyalty until he passed away sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, we begin this khutbah by saying, yes, it is about divorce. And yes, it is an escape route. But don't think of the escape route as soon as the plane starts a little bit of turbulence. Don't start thinking of exiting when difficulties arise. No, try your best to work your way through. Our Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, hadith is in Sunan Ibn Majah, wa fi sanadihi dha'f, wa lakin ma'nahu sahih. Our Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, أَبْغَضُ الْحَلَالِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الطَّلَاقِ The worst or the most despised of all things that are permissible is talaq. Ponder over this hadith. It is halal. You are not sinful if you have to do a divorce and you do a divorce. But what does this hadith say? أَبْغَضُ الْحَلَالِ The most despicable of halal. The most despised of halal. It is halal. I'm not saying it's haram. But the Prophet ﷺ is saying, it's the worst thing you can do that is halal. Nothing that is halal is lesser than this issue of divorce. So before we jump to that conclusion, what should we do? Khutbah only allows me to mention 4 points, and of course perhaps longer classes can be given. First and foremost, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, realize Allah created men and women psychologically, physiologically, intellectually, emotionally, differently. وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُكَ الْأُنْثَى The man is not like the woman. Do not assume that your partner understands the severity of how you feel. Do not assume that your husband or your wife can understand the anger, the frustration, whatever is going on. Realize Allah created men and women differently. And this is something every psychologist now is mentioning. It's something that is well known. Therefore, number one step, communicate. Say it explicitly. Do not make an assumption that the other partner understands how bad the situation is, unless and until you explain it. Husbands, men, realize our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed us directly when he said, "Isluhu bin nisa'i khayra." Treat your women gently and realize they have been created from a rib. He said, "Hadith is in Bukhari." And the highest point of the rib is the most curved. Now, this hadith causes a little bit of controversy in some modern circles. It is an authentic hadith. The meaning is very clear. There's nothing controversial about it. For a man, a woman's way of thinking does not make any sense. It's difficult to communicate. And our Prophet ﷺ is saying, look, you need to treat women with emotion, with compassion. Don't treat them the way you treat another man with your level of arguing or logic or rationality. This is not to say women are illogical or irrational. No. But women have a different way. From a woman's perspective, a man seems irrational. A man seems obtuse. A man seems completely cut off from the reality. Each one of them is in their own paradigm. So our Prophet ﷺ is saying, oh men, be emotional. emotional with your women. Treat them. This is emotion. Have the love and the rahmah. Don't have the argument and the intellectual debates you might have with another man. That's not how you solve most problems when it comes to the issues of marriage. And vice versa, this is not to say, as I said, women are irrational. It's that women have a different way of thinking. Women can multitask. Women use all of their brain simultaneously. Men, it is well known, compartmentalized. Men only use one aspect of their brain at one time. In some sense, it can be argued, women are a very different type of intellectual than men are, because men are focused. Men do one thing with their brains. My point is, men and women need to understand communication is the key. Women as well. Do not assume your husband knows why you're irritated. In fact, some psychologists say, and it sounds a little bit demeaning, but it is true, treat your husband like a five-year-old child. Tell him exactly what he needs to do. Tell him exactly what the problem is. Don't assume that your husband knows what is going on in your head. And frankly, I will say that is a true advice as well. Just tell us what is irritating you, explain the cause, and use gentle language, and perhaps many problems will be solved. Many problems between a marriage are the result of miscommunication. The two did not even take the time to communicate their problems to one another, and things went from bad to worse simply because what was in the heart was left in the heart. That's not how a marriage is going to succeed. Gently, calmly, when the time is right, sit the spouse down in a gentle manner, using soft language, explain what the issue is. Psychologists say, use I rather than you. I am hurt when you do this. I feel this when this happens. Don't say, you do this to me. Rather say, I am hurt when this and this occurred. So that it is softened. You don't become accusative. So point number one, communicate what is going on. Do not make assumptions. If after communicating, it doesn't work, we move to stage two. We move to stage two. What is stage two? Stage two is you approach family and friends for comfort and support. Give your ideas and your problems to your close circle. Do not think that a marriage will last all by itself. Even our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the famous incident in the seerah, listen to it. When an issue happened, he called Ali ibn Abi Talib. He called Zayd ibn Haritha. He asked them, what should I do about this issue? The issues of the wives and whatnot. He asked his best friends what he should do. Imagine, he is the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is turning to his family and friends. What do you think I should do? Subhanallah. If he can do this, how about us? Men and women, husbands and wives, maybe, just maybe, you are at fault here. And when your wife or your husband tells you, you don't understand. When your friend tells you, it will actually click. When your friend says, you know, maybe you did react too much. You know, maybe you were too harsh. You know, maybe you said, then it might actually have an impact that your spouse will not impact. So to save a marriage, go to family and friends. As well, family and friends, feel free to offer intervention. Do not intervene. Offer to help. Do not help immediately, or else you might be presumed as getting involved in something that is not your business. But if you know a close friend is going through a problem, if your family, your relatives, you see your brother, your sister, your cousin going through some severe issues with marriage, again, when the time is right, offer your help and say, you know, I don't want to pry, I don't want to get involved in something that's not my business, but if you want, my wife and I are here, we can help to solve any issues. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadith is in Bukhari. Barira had a divorce with her husband. It was a very acrimonious issue on her side. He wanted to remain and she wanted to leave. And he would actually walk in the streets of Medina crying, wanting to get his ex-wife back. And for whatever reason, she didn't want to come back to him. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself got involved. He said, oh Barira, you know, why don't you take him back? You know, what is the issue? He got involved. Imam al-Nawawi comments on this and he said, this indicates that family and friends, that anybody who is a person of authority, when they see a marriage is in issues, they should offer their help. They should see, can I come and help? Can I do something for you? And just offer. It's not something, if you are refused, okay, no problem, you did your deed. But maybe, just maybe, you can actually come and save the marriage. So, stage number two, if the marriage is getting very tough, you're not able to solve it within yourselves, do not feel shy or embarrassed to go to close family, to go to close friends. Our Prophet ﷺ did it. Why would you be embarrassed to do it? Stage number three, if that does not work and talk of divorce begins, you actually are now genuinely thinking about divorce. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you there must be an intermediate step. There must be something before you jump to that exit. Because again, dear Muslims, how many times we see after one argument and an impetuous husband just says, I divorce you. Subhanallah. The marriage was planned for weeks, months, years, and the divorce is done in 10 seconds? Wallahi, this is foolish. You need to plan for a divorce 10 times more than you plan for a marriage. A divorce is not done spontaneously in Islamic law. A divorce is never done on the spur of the moment. You take your time, you think, you follow these steps. We are now on step number three. If talk of divorce begins, if it's that bad that family and friends are not immediately solving, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا. If you are worried that now the marriage will result in a split. Now when the worry has become tangible, stage one has failed, stage two has failed. Now, what should you do? فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. Now Allah says, there will be a mini court, but not in the courtroom of the lands. It's too awkward, husband and wife mentioning their private. It doesn't work that way. No, Allah Azza wa Jal has allowed a court within the family. This is called arbitration. One person from the side of the husband who knows both of them, one person from the side of the wife who knows both of them. This person doesn't have to be a sheikh, a PhD in fiqh. This person has to be a wise person. That's all. Somebody who's been through many years. Somebody who is hakim. Somebody who is just a person who knows human emotion. Generally speaking, most people who have lived life can be an arbitrator. Generally speaking, most people who are 50, 60 years old, they can come in to a marriage of 30, 40 year old people and they understand what's going on. They've lived it. So فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. And one person from the husband's side and one person from the wife. Two people. Why? Because it's human nature. Your relative, you're a bit softer with them. Just a bit softer with them. So Allah says, find one. It doesn't have to be blood relative, but somebody whom the wife knows, somebody whom the husband knows more than the other. It's possible, obviously, that both can know them, but choosing, the wife chooses one, the husband chooses one. Our scholars say, this should be an officially binding arbitration. What this means is, the two come together, and the two listen to both parties independent of one another. Independent of one another. Then the two of them meet up independent of the couple. So now they are talking in the absence of the couple. If they need to repeat to get more questions, just like a jury, just like an actual mini trial, no problem. The goal is to save a marriage, it's not to indict somebody. If they have to ask more questions, have more interrogation, no problem, do it. Then the two of them pronounce their verdict. Husband, you are too harsh, you need to calm down. Wife, you might be overreacting on some issues, work on this. So they give them a plan of action. Our scholars say it is legally binding. Meaning, you are sinful if you just throw it and say, I don't care about this. Because Allah is saying, you need to do this. Allah is saying, the two of them have to tell you what to do, and they will then, both of them, will give you simple tips, pointers. They'll point out, maybe one side is 60% wrong, other side is 40%. Maybe one side is 100% wrong. You never know. That's why you get the two independent arbitrators, and they will then tell you what to do. Then, if after arbitration, sometimes the arbitrators will say, you know what, this is an irreconcilable difference, whatever it might be, it doesn't work out. If after that, or after trying what the arbitrators have decided, still doesn't work out, and the both of them are now really thinking about divorce, even then there's one final step, and that is Salatul Istikhara. Never ever do something of this magnitude without istikhara. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you to the best of decisions. Never undertake any decision without praying salat al-istikhara. And then after all of this, if genuinely the both of you decide that there is no way out other than this escape route, even then there is a procedure to follow. Divorce is never done on the whim, on the spur. And I tell you from my anecdotal experience, and I am positive every imam and sheikh in the world will corroborate this. More than 90%, I want to even say 95% of divorces that come to me and others, it is spontaneous. That's not the way you divorce. You don't just divorce because of one issue, one argument, because of one incident that happened. Divorce is planned, like the marriage is planned. No, 10 times more than the marriage was planned. You don't just decide one day because of one issue, I'm just going to end up in divorce. You follow these steps. You do everything you can. And then, even then, there is a procedure. And the first Islamic ruling of divorce shows you that Allah does not want spontaneous divorce. What is the number one rule in the fiqh books? Forget the psychology. Now we get to the fiqh. In the fiqh books, all the scholars agree that a divorce needs to take place when a woman is not in her monthly cycle, and she is pure therefore, and her husband has not engaged in intercourse with her during that full cycle. Is that spontaneous? No, you have to think. Hold on a sec. What time of the month is it for her? Okay, have I engaged in intimacy? If I have, I have to wait 1 month. You have to wait 2-3 weeks minimum. This is in the Quran. This is فَطَلِّقُونَ لِعِدَّتِهِنْ. It's in the Quran. Divorce them at the proper time. Why, dear brothers? Because the divorce is in your hands, meaning the right of divorce is in your hand immediately. As for women, she can sue for divorce in the court of law. In the absence of a court of law, she can go to a group of imams or shuyukh and explain the issues. And if they grant it, that's a separate issue. But the point is, why did Allah say in the Quran, divorce them at their proper times, to indicate that divorce is not spontaneous? You have to pause, you have to wait. And if you have been intimate in the last month, you have to wait until the cycle. Then the cycle finishes, then she purifies herself, then you do not touch her during that purification. And then, after all of this, you may, in a calm manner, because divorce should never be done in an angry manner, you may then state that I have divorced you one time only. Do not make a mockery of the Sharia and give multiple divorces. Marriage is not made out of soap operas and dramas. Ignore all of that. One of our biggest problems, we learn fiqh from soap operas and dramas, a'udhu billah. Marriages are destroyed because people don't know how to divorce, and they make a mockery of talaq. I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. This is not how you say a divorce. Divorce is said once and only once, in a calm manner, when all of these things have been done and the time frame is correct. This is the way for divorce. And our scholars mention, why should divorce not be given in a menstrual cycle? Many reasons can be given, but of them is that it is common during this time frame that the wife might be a little bit more irritable, might be causing more issues, and the husband as well might be also frustrated. So this is not the time for divorce. Also, the sunnah manner of divorce, the proper manner of divorce, is never to combine multiple divorces in one. This is called an innovated divorce. You don't divorce multiple times. A man came to Ibn Abbas and he said, I divorced my wife 1,000 times. And Ibn Abbas said, you have made a mockery of the Sharia. What can I do for you? You are joking about the Sharia of Allah. Now you come to me. He came running. Oh Ibn Abbas, what do I do? I divorced my wife 1,000 times. Ibn Abbas became irritated. He said, you did not follow the laws of Allah. You made a joke of Allah's religion. Then you come running to me. Oh Ibn Abbas, why didn't you follow Allah's Sharia and divorce one time the way you were supposed to? As for the issue of whether triple or one counts, this is beyond the scope of our khutbah. My point right now, do not engage. If you're going to even get to the stage of divorce, do not engage in more than one time per cycle. Also, dear brothers and sisters, this needs to be said here, that amongst the four madhabs, one of them, the one that is common in our Indian Pakistani subculture, it has a mechanism of divorce that the other three madhabs do not like. And it needs to be said here. That madhab says that you say talaq once in every month, so that you have a binding triple talaq. So you will say talaq, let's say in January, then you wait second talaq in February, then you wait third talaq in March. And while technically this is allowed and it will be triple talaq, what happens when you do this, and the other three madhab say you should not do that. Why? Because when you give three talaqs, we know what happens with three talaqs, which is what? It is officially sealed. You can never remarry. There's no hope of remarriage unless a very difficult thing takes place. That's why the other three madhabs say, no, 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 don't do that. Give only one. Only one talaq, give it. And then when the iddah finishes, she is a free lady. Maybe the both of you calm down. Maybe after 6 months, a year, you say, you know what? Let's come back together for the sake of the kids. Now you have that opportunity. And this is what even some modern Hanafi scholars are saying. This is the best way, is not to give three talaqs in 3 months, but to give one talaq in the entire cycle. And even then, dear brothers and sisters, after talaq is given, subhanallah, I say this bluntly, if Muslims followed the Sharia, divorce would be less than 2, 3, 4%. If they followed the Sharia. Even after giving talaq, it is the explicit commandment in the Quran. What? That the woman has to live in the house of the man for 3 full cycles. And the man is not allowed to, forget intimacy, even be romantic with her. Our scholars say, if he kisses her, if he hugs her, the talaq is taken back and they're remarried again. Now, Allah is showing you. And again, brothers, let's be honest here. You are really wanting a talaq? Show Allah that for 3 months you can live in the same house and not have any romance like husband and wife. Show Allah that. If you can do that, then honestly you deserve a talaq, frankly. But who amongst us can be 3 months in the same house as one spouse and not even a romantic phrase, not even a hug, not even a touch, not even a kiss on the cheek? Who can do that? And this is the explicit command of the Quran. لا تخرجوهن من بيوتهن. Do not expel them from their houses. In our times, أعوذ بالله, the arrogant man, and it is usually almost always the man in this case because he has the talaq in his hand, he says, go back to your parents' house. Allah is saying, do not expel them. And the man says, go back, and he expels him. You tell me, who is obeying the law of Allah and who is disobeying? Even in that case, the man has to live with the woman for 3 months, as long as there's physical safety. I'm not saying if there's abuse, that's a different issue. I'm talking about the norm. When there's a regular divorce, regular, then in this case, she has to live for 3 months in the house. And then after that, the divorce takes place. And even then, what is the final fiqhi ruling of divorce? Wallahi, what a beautiful sharia we have. Allah says in the Quran, when you divorce a woman and she's going to leave, give her a gift. Can you imagine? مَتِّعُوهُنْ عَلَى الْمُوسِعِ قَدْرُهُ وَعَلَى الْمُقْتِرِ. The rich person should give a gift according to his level of income. And the poor person according to his level. But everyone has to give a gift when the marriage is over. Can you believe this is our sharia? Okay, it didn't work out. Khair, it does, sometimes it happens. Let's not try to have very hard feelings. You know, may Allah make it easy for us. And here, let me give you a generous gift. And Allah is saying, this is something that is called the mut'at al-talaq. This is called the gift of talaq. You have to give something even when the marriage is over. Can you imagine, brothers and sisters, if the people followed the sharia, how little divorce would be? Therefore, to summarize the first part of this khutbah, yes, divorce is an escape route. Yes, it is there in case we need it. But the emergency route is not used just when immediately some issues happen. It's there in case of genuine emergency, dire situation. O Muslims, follow the sharia of Allah. Protect your marriages. Do not think of divorce immediately. And even when it needs to be done, make sure it is done properly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me and you with and through the Quran. And may He make us of those who its verses they understand and who applies halal and haram throughout their lifespan. I ask Allah's forgiveness. You as well ask, for He is the Ghafoor, the Rahman. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. We also have to mention, dear Muslims, when it comes to the issue of divorce, that divorce doesn't just affect you. It affects the people that are the nearest and dearest to you. It affects children. This is yet another reason why we need to be very, very careful about divorce. Dear Muslims, we live in a land where akhlaq and iman are almost absent. Not just for the sake of your own akhlaq and iman, for the sake of your children's akhlaq and iman. Protect your families. Work on your marriages, dear brothers and sisters. Don't just give up. For the sake of your deen and dunya, for the sake of yourselves and your children after you, Don't just give up and throw in the towel. Work on a marriage. Try your best to salvage it. Don't just throw it away. It is a precious gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this whole world is a temporary gift and pleasure. And the best pleasure that Allah has given in this world is a righteous spouse. This is the best blessing, is a good spouse. Don't just give up a spouse. Don't just get rid of somebody. Try your best to make the marriage work, to salvage the spouse. And realize, Muslim brother and sister, you two are not perfect. There is no question that you two have issues and faults that is troubling the other partner. That's impossible that that's not the case. It's impossible. Are you not human? Do you not have mistakes and issues? So why do you only look at what is negative in the other and never look at what is negative in yourself? Why do you only concentrate on the negative and ignore the positive? Hadith in Muslim Imam Ahmad, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, never should a believing man despise a believing woman, meaning his wife. Never should a Muslim despise another Muslim. If the husband doesn't like some qualities in her, for sure he will find other qualities that are praiseworthy. This is a hadith. Don't just concentrate on the negative. Even if the marriage doesn't work out, she's a good person inshallah in some ways, he's a good person in some ways. Don't just concentrate on the negative. And then the final point, dear brothers and sisters, and again, so much can be said, but it also needs to be mentioned here. In case the marriage, after all of these issues, does not work out and the two partners have to part their ways, Allah says in the Quran, no problem. Allah will take care of each one of them. And there should be no stigma on the divorcee once the proper procedure has been followed. This is another problem that we have in our culture. Just because a marriage did not work out doesn't mean you or her or him and he were bad people. Sometimes two righteous people just don't get along and they're both righteous. Abdullah ibn Zubayr, the Hawari of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Asma binti Abi Bakr, both of them are people of Jannah. Their marriage did not work in this world. They had to end up in divorce. Zayd ibn Haritha, and the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Zainab, the both of them are promised Jannah. Their marriage did not work out. They ended up in a divorce. So many Sahaba ended up in a divorce. It did not diminish their iman. There was no stigma or scar or trauma attached to that divorce. Society accepted it. This is another problem that we have, that there's a stigma, especially on the female. And subhanAllah, I'm being honest here, brothers, most of the time the fault is the men's. I'm not saying all the time. Most of the time the fault is the men's. And yet the stigma is on whom? It is on the women. What type of unjust society is that? And because of this, once a woman is divorced, a'udhu billah, she becomes almost like untouchable goods. And the fact of the matter is, our mothers, the wives of the Prophet, all of them were divorcees or widows except for one. He showed us, this is what, no problem if a person is divorced. No problem, the reality of life. The Sahaba went intermarry after a divorce, no problem. Look at the story of Asma bint Umays. She was married to Ja'far and then to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And then to Ali radiallahu anhu, each one of them is having children with her. Each one is not caring that she is widowed from a previous one. Didn't matter to them. So just because a divorce takes place, it does not in and of itself mean anything. And no stigma should be attached in the case of divorce. Brothers and sisters, I conclude by reminding myself and all of you of what our scholars have said is the most optimistic verse in the whole Quran about marriage. Please memorize this verse. Our scholars have said this is the most optimistic verse in the Quran about marriage. Allah says in the Quran, "In yurida islahan yuwaffiqillahu baynahuma." I cannot think of a more positive message that Allah revealed in the Quran for marriages. Allah is saying, if the both husband and wife want to make the marriage work, Allah will bring about a mechanism that the marriage will work. It's as simple as that. Allah is saying, you put in the effort, the both of you be sincere, the both of you want to have the marriage work, Allah promises. It's a condition and the answer to that condition. In yurida islahan, if the husband and wife want to make reconciliation, they want to make the marriage work, Allah will make the marriage work. Allah is promising you, giving you on a silver platter. What more do you want, dear husbands and wives? Be sincere, be humble, follow the Islamic procedure, and inshaAllah ta'ala, inshaAllah, Allah Ta'ala, this will save many, many marriages. And in case a divorce takes place after all of this, even then Allah says, وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَا, and if the both of them have to split up, يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِّن سَعَتِهِ, Allah will give each one of them what is best for them. In all cases, turn to Allah, do things properly, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you. اللهم إني داعٍ فأمنوا. اللهم لا تدع في هذا اليوم ذنبا إلا غفرت, ولا هما إلا فرجت, ولا دينا إلا قضيت, ولا مريضا إلا شفيت, ولا عسيرا إلا يسرت. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان, ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا, ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين, اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين, اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بسوء فاشغله بنفسه وجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. Oh Allah, we ask you for marriages that work, oh Allah. Oh Allah, grant us spouses that are coolness of our eyes and a comfort of our souls, oh Allah. Oh Allah, help us in the difficulties of our marriage. Oh Allah, preserve our marriages for ourselves and our children after us. Oh Allah, grant us and our children after us spouses that will be a coolness of our eyes and a comfort of our hearts. بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. عِبَادَ اللَّهِ, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَمَرَكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ بَدَأَ بِهِ بِنَفْسِهِ وَثَنَّى بِمَلَائِكَةِ قُدُسِهِ وَثَلَّثَ بِكُمْ أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ مِنْ جِنِّهِ وَإِنْسِهِ فَقَالَ عز من قائل عليما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله, إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم, ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر, وأقم الصلاة.
لا يزال الخير حيا لا يزال, إن في الدنيا سلاما وظلال, أخبر الأيام أنا في وصال, قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال, قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال.